A pious man who had reached the age of 105 suddenly stopped going to church. Alarmed by the old man's absence after so many years of faithful attendance, the pastor went to see him. He found him in excellent health. So the pastor asked, "How come after all these years we don't see you at the Mass anymore?" The old man looked around and lowered his voice. "I tell you, Pastor," he whispered, "when I got to be 90, I expected God to take me any day. But then I got to be 95, then 100, then 105. So I figured that God is very busy and must have forgotten about me. And I don't want to remind him." We have arrived at this fourth Sunday. The church focuses our attention not just on waiting, but on the profound mystery of God's intervention, how he breaks into human history, and more specifically, how he breaks into our own history. The gospel reading from Matthew is a story focused entirely on St. Joseph, a man known in Scripture by a single powerful descriptor, a righteous man. Joseph, engaged to Mary, learns that she is pregnant. His world shatters. He knows he is not the father. His righteousness, his adherence to the law, demands that he act. But his love and his compassion for Mary prompt him to act with the greatest possible mercy, to divorce her quietly, protecting her from public disgrace. He is caught between the letter of the law and the charity of the heart. It is in this moment of deep human confusion and agonizing decision that God intervenes. The dream, a classic biblical moment of divine instruction, shines a light into Joseph's darkness. The angel tells him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home." This message speaks to three profound truths for us as we approach Christmas. The first truth is, let us not be afraid of the divine plan. The angel's first command is simple: do not be afraid. This is God's perennial message to his people. When we encounter circumstances that overwhelm our logic, defy our expectations, or seem too painful to bear, we often choose Joseph's initial path, that is, the quiet, orderly retreat. God's plan is rarely neat, but it is always salvific. Joseph had to let go of his need for control and surrender to a reality that was greater than his understanding, a reality that would save the world. What divine disorder is God asking us to embrace in our own life, especially in this Christmas? The second truth that we see is the fulfillment of prophecy. The angel gives Joseph the reason. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "Behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. The prophet Isaiah's promise from the first reading, delivered to King Ahaz centuries earlier, finds its ultimate fulfillment. Joseph's decision is not merely a domestic arrangement. It is the hinge point of history. He becomes the custodian of the incarnation, the man who gives Jesus his name and his heritage in the line of David. His obedience is a channel through which the promise of Emmanuel, God with us, becomes a living reality. The third truth that we see is obedience is the path to God. Joseph, the righteous man, demonstrates the ultimate act of faith. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. He did not argue. He did not ask for a sign. He did not delay. He simply obeyed. His yes is silent, immediate, and complete. It is the perfect counterpoint to Mary's fiat at the Annunciation. While Mary said, "Let it be done to me," Joseph did what he was commanded. His humble, obedient action allows the incarnation to proceed. As we stand on the cusp of Christmas, we are called to be like Joseph, to lay aside our fears, to trust the incomprehensible plan of God, and to act on the quiet promptings of the Spirit, even when they disrupt our expectations. Only through this quiet, faithful obedience can we truly make room for Emmanuel, God with us, to be born into our own homes and into our own lives.